بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, Alhamdulillah, it is only through the Father and Karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to talk about these great personalities who are all awliya, saints, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sacrificed their life for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat, for the deen of Islam. And they had real ishq of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we had discussed the brief biography and some important incidents in the life of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the founder of Dawud and Tabligh. And we mentioned, just to recap some of the important points that we discussed last week, just to refresh in our memories, that many of the ulama were of the opinion that Hazrat Maulana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi was the mujaddid, the reformer of this era. He was born in 1886, memorized the Quran Sharif whilst he was still young, studied by his father. I mentioned that his father, Maulana Muhammad Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi, another very great buzurg, had come to Nizamuddin and he was teaching there. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayh had two brothers, Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi, and they were from the same father, same mother, and Maulana Muhammad, who was from the same father but a different, another mother, and she had passed away. Then Maulana's father married Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi's mother. So Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi was elder than Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi, and the brother Maulana Muhammad, he was the eldest. The mother was a hafiz of the Quran and she would recite 40 khatams in the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi's brother is Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi. Maulana Yahya's son is Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi. I mentioned last week to you the great, this family, how great, how pious, the family of Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi, Khandalvi, we say, they came from the area Khandla, in Saharanpur, or in that area, and right till this very day, I mentioned Maulana Saad Sahib Damat Barakatuhum and so many others from the family of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Great, great, great people. People who devote their time in ibadat, in the work of Dawud and Tabligh, in Tazkiyah. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali felt very, very sad on the demise of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali. And then he had seen a dream in which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed him to go to India, because he had intention of remaining Madina Munawwara for the remaining of his life and to make fikr for the effort of deen. And Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi had seen that iman had gone, had become very, very weak in the hearts of the people. Masjids were not abad. People were not making, performing the salah. Deen was not so important in their lives. The tawakkul was not upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Effort for deen was like nil, zero. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi had this kurhan, this pain, and such a pain in his heart that he was restless. Nights upon nights would go and he could not even sleep. And his wife would ask him, that, what is the matter? And he would say that if you had that pain that I have, that worry and concern about the ummat of Nabi Karim, how we need to revive and bring again and rekindle his iman and fikr for deen and make the men folk come back to the masjid and the women folk also to make read the salat at home and bring ibadat in our lives and ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you also would not sleep tonight. And then we also mentioned that the fact that Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi especially went to great, great poverty. In the Markaz, there were days when they had no food. I mentioned so many incidents last week, and you can just listen to that talk again. But one incident where it was the month of Ramadan, in time of iftar and sehri also, there was no food. Just some water and some type of fruit that some animal would eat or goat would eat. Not even palatable. But they made qanaat, they were content, they begged from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until finally he goes to his wife and he says, you know what, because of me you're going through such difficulties. Rather, you separate from me and you go and Allah make dua, Allah finds you a better husband if you wish. And because you're going through poverty because of me. She did not say one word, she goes in and she brings a little purse in which there was some jewelry, some coins. And she gives it to Hazrat Marana. She says, I do not wish to separate from you. I am prepared to make the sacrifice. Spend this on your mehman, on your guests in the markas. So these were the great, great luminaries. Even the woman folk of such a caliber. Hazrat Marana Rahmatullah Ali was a very frail person, very weak. He would even stammer. So he couldn't give bayans as you and I would think of, you know, powerful bayans like an orator. No. But it was his iman, the iman in him, the ikhlas he had, that his mission was fulfilled, alhamdulillah, to such an extent that not just in one village, Mewat in India, not only in Delhi, but throughout. In fact, he would tell some of his satis in the initial stages of Dawat and Tabligh that, tum log America ka safar karoge. So that bichara, simple people they, from Mewat, they didn't know. One of them thought America must be some remote village, some part of India. They didn't know America was a separate country on its own. And so they saw that what Hazrat Maulana said turned out to be true when the day came and Jamaat went to America. Every part of the world, you can say. Different types of people. Whether the person was a professor, whether he was an ordinary person on the street, whether he was a gangster, people with tattoos also changed the entire lives through the effort of Dawat and Tabligh. People who were drunkards, people who were drug addicts, people who were drug lords, people who were doctors, professors, people who were completely away from deen, people who would mock the work of Dawat and Tabligh. When Inqilab came into them, they changed the entire lives. Not just handful people, Arabs, non-Arabs, men, women, young, old, all this, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah's ikhlas, his tawajjuh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cried, he had that fikr, like the worry and concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, you and I also enjoying the fruits of Dawat and Tabligh. There is no doubt about it. Whether we accept or don't accept, but this is a fact in this country especially. Most of us are products of a work of Dawat and Tabligh. Nonetheless, Hazrat Maulana had completed his studies in Deoband, and I mentioned last week, he was performing Salah. One day he was told to go forward, and behind him was people like Hazrat Tamir Rahmatullah Ali. Big ulama. And somebody then remarked, small person carrying big carriages, small engine. And then somebody else in the family said, he may be a small engine, but this is a powerful engine. And it turned out to be true. So powerful his engine that we saw in his life. He was restless. Restless, completely restless. So that this work of Dawat and Tabligh could spread far and wide. Every and any opportunity he got, whether he was invited somebody's home, or whether there was some function, whatever it was, whether he's traveling, he would not waste a moment, but that he would give Dawat to the person. And with very kind words. It was not harsh, it was not hard, very pyar or muhabbat ke saath. Remember the story I gave last week about the person who was going in, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, for no real reason, just asked him, the person who was driving the rickshaw, those who went India, Pakistan know the rickshaw. And Hazrat Maulana just wanted to get close to him, to give him, to impress upon him the importance of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Maulana made out, this person is not a namazi. But he didn't tell him directly, why are you not reading namaz? Maulana asked him, just take me around, and as he's going, he came for salah time, he said, just wait here, I just go read my namaz and I'll come back. He didn't tell him also to read namaz. Second day, third day, and finally Maulana tells him, that it's time for salat, that Allah, I'm going to read namaz, for he's also your Allah. Why don't you join me? This person said, that I don't know how to read namaz. He said, don't worry about how to read namaz. You just join me. Just come inside. And as he entered the masjid, this man begins to cry. And Maulana looks at him, what happened? Why are you crying? He's saying, after 40 years, this is the first time I'm putting my qadam into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like this, his whole purpose was just to become close to the person, to be able to convince him to come to the masjid and read his salat. Then of course Maulana had excellent akhlaq, his ways, his habits, and the tahammul he had. We mentioned that incident of a person who invited Hazrat Maulana. They went to some village, And the person saw this Maulana here, and some people, some Sati Uddin, and he told him that, come to my place, I'm inviting you for meals, come after Maghrib Salat. Maulana agreed, he said, no problem, he will come. And so happened, then the person's brother comes, and he tells him, you know what, it's no more after Maghrib, it's after Isha. For what reason? He told him that Allah knows best. So Maulana said, no problem. So they continued their work of Gush and Ta'alim, everything they carried on. And so Maulana went there after Isha. And as he's approaching, the man who's the host, he is fuming, he is raging, he is angry. And he starts to sway, hurl, insults. So this is the time to come. What do you think of a woman folk? They must carry the pot from Maghrib time, right, for you. You got no haya in you, no sharam in you. What bayans you giving? What you calling the people towards? Many of us also say these things sometimes. Allah forgive us. Khair. Then the brother who was the host brother, he's standing there, he's not saying one word. And Mawla is not even telling this person, no, that your brother came and told us the time was changed. Mawla Ilyas Ramadhu kept quiet, he didn't say one word. And the person then tells him, since you are here, then eat. And then they dish out the food. But as he's taking one lukma, this man is lashing out at him. That you are like this and you are like that. And finally, after they finish, Mawla asks, beg the person for forgiveness, maafi, and then he leaves. And as they're going back, the people, Isati say, Hazrat, the man's brother was there, he's quiet. You could have explained to the elder brother, this is what your brother came and told us, time has changed to after Isha. Hazrat Mawla said, see, if I was going to say that, then both brothers would start fighting. Unki aapas mein jagra hoga, larai hogi. They both wives will start fighting. And because of just one dawat, the two families will split. And because of me, I don't want to see disunity. I just ignore it amid tahammul, amid bardash. I ignore it, and that's all. So this was his akhlaq. And he had the maqam of ihsan in him. As though a person is seeing Allah Ta'ala. Oh, he has that consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is seeing him in his whole life, in his ibadat. And always ihtisab. Having hopes, anticipating reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would explain Jannat and Jahannam to the people as though it was right in front of him. So Hazrat Mawlana had that strong iman, strong yaqeen, and this was his real concern, that how he's going to pass this on to the rest of the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His nigah, his gaze was not just only on the people in Mewat, and as mentioned, Mewat was such a place where there was no deen at all. People had Muslim names, and the only one thing perhaps remained in them is that the Mawlana would perform the nikah. Otherwise, the customs were completely like the others. They had no Islamic customs in them. Completely out. And that was the place Allah chose Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas al-Madulali to make the first effort. So initially, there was opposition from every person. Until few ulama, great ulama, Mufti Kifayatullah Rahmatullah, all gave him Madani Rahmatullah Ali, gave the support. Slowly, many others then. And there were occasions when Hazrat Mawlana mentioned last week, he had taken a jamaat of ulama. And as they going up a very mountainous area, suddenly the whole vehicle capsizes. Nobody is hurt. But finally, they reach the top. And those Mawlana's first time they went like that, they were fuming. By that time they came on top, Hazrat Mawlana could see that these people are angry. Before they could see anything, then he reminded them, by our sacrifices, our Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what sacrifices he made in Taif. Today you just got a little bit of that, little bit of that. We should be happy. Immediately they all cooled down. So inshallah we'll continue today. Regarding Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah, just tip of the iceberg. There's no, it's impossible to do justice of any of these Buzughanideen ulama of Dioban that we have mentioned so far. Whether it's Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Maddi Rahmatullah, whether it's Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah, Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, or Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah, each one, there is so much about them. We just mentioned a few important points so that we can try and bring this in our lives and we can make some effort and we can change. They mentioned also that look at the muhabbat these great ulama had amongst themselves. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Ramadul goes to a certain village with his Jamaat, and they're going in Tabligh there. Program is made somewhere. At the same time, Hazrat Mullah Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali has got a political program, a Jalsa. He was in Siyasat, he was in politics. And so he was also in the same area at the same time. He was having his Jalsa, and this said Hazrat Mullah Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali has got his Jamaat program arranged. Somebody comes and tells us, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, that Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali is there, he's got a jalsa. Mawlana said, "Cha, okay, so we'll cancel our program, maybe stop our program, let's go and meet Hazrat Madani and go join his jalsa." In the meantime, somebody tells Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali, "Bari Hazrat, wahan tashreef li aaye, that Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah is there, and he's there in Wud Jamaat." So Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali cancels his program. And he said, "Let's we go and join Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali." Khuda ka karna aisa tha that these people leave their venue and these people leave their program and they meet in the middle of the road. Both these groups are meeting. And each one then discovers that he left his jalsa for me, I left my jalsa for him. That's the muhabbat they had. And that was genuine muhabbat. They sacrificed his program just to make ikram of the next one. These are the things we need to bring in our life. Another incident which Mala Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullahi had mentioned. Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullahi and Mala Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi, these people were very close to Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi. And they had gone out on many of the Jamaats with Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi. They stayed very, very close to him in his Sohbat. So Mawlana Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullah writes once that Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah came to Lucknow. Now it was his habit that any place, new place he goes, then he wants to meet the Buzughan Deen of that place, the ulama, the senior ulama, those who are doing effort for deen, for long. So he would go to them and with humility, tawazu, he'll go and he'd take their duas. So there was one very great buzurg by Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Rahmatullahi Ali. He was known as Imam Ahli Sunnah. Very great buzurg. Very great buzurg. Mawlana Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullah was close to him. So Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Ali told the people, "You haven't understood this man's maqam. I desire to go and meet him." Mawlana Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullahi Ali, via some person, he made some arrangements. Hazrat, may unse waq le lunga. I'll take time from him, we'll arrange the meeting and we'll go. So, a time was fixed. Certain time, they will go and visit him. So, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah is going, Mawlana Manzoor Nomani accompanies him. It so happened, there was some misunderstanding here. The person who arranged it, gave some misinformation. And so, when they reached, according to Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Rahmatullah Ali, they came very late. And he's waiting for like maybe 1 or 2 hours. And these people, they're going on time. According to what they were told. So as they go, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Rahmatullahi Ali, by Muslim Mashayikh, they don't keep anything in their heart. And especially when it comes to Islah. He was quite upset, very upset. So he made salam, alaikum salam, and said, "Bhai, you people must keep to time." Because time was very precious in their lives. One minute, they didn't work to do. They can't sit whole day and wait for somebody to come. You and I may have too much of time and to waste. So for us, nothing. They, one second was precious. So, Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi is upset and he's shouting them. And the first time, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah is meeting him also. Mawlana Manzoor Nomani says, that I went to clarify and explain to Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Hazrat that this was the time, and about to say a few words, I started saying, when suddenly Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah caught hold of my hand and he stopped me. He silenced me. And then he tells, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah then explains to Mawlana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Rahmatullah, he says, Hazrat, humse hamesha baro ko aziyat punchti hai. If you understand Urdu, he says, Hazrat,
humse, it's because of people like us, me. Always, we give our elders a lot of taklif and trouble. We are so weak. Always, we always giving our elders trouble. Isi ke liye, yani isi islah ke liye, hum aapke paas hazir hue. It's for the same islah that we have come to you. The moment he said that, Maulana Abdul Shakur Faruqi Ramadhu became so happy. So happy. And then they said that majlis was one of muhabbat kalas. Long majlis and the pyar and muhabbat he showed him. Mawliyas Ramadhu finished, mid salam. After they left the place, they went onto the conveyance. As they're traveling, they're departing. Now, when he's alone, Mawlana Mazur Numani Ramadhu, he tells him, Mawlana, listen to what I'm saying. He says, Baro ke samne apni safai na pesh karna chahiye. Baro ke samne apni galati maan lijiye. He says, in front of elders, seniors, don't try and explain your position and Hazrat, you misunderstood and I was right and you are wrong. Just remain silent. Take it as though it was your fault and acknowledge I made a mistake. Humble yourself in front of your elders and seniors. May Allah give me the tawfiq also, all of us. So this was an important lesson that Ma Ilyas Ram taught Hazrat Maulana Manzoor Nomani Ramatullahi. So again we mentioned like last week, Maulana was fana fit tabligh, fana fit tabligh. How many of us are fana fit dunya, Allah save us. Whole day, paisa, 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 morning, evening, afternoon, cell phone, after hours, containers, yeah, day, chakkar, 24/7. Mawliyas Ramatul Ali, fana fi tabligh, day and night only one thing, tabligh, 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 and therefore he underwent many, many sacrifices. He undertook great, long, long journeys, pedal, by foot. Sometime we take some conveyance, some means, but a lot of time just walking and walking and walking, and just like he mentioned to some person who said, Hazrat, you know, why we have to make so much of qurban? He explains that for your rozi, for your rizq, what don't you go through? What sacrifice doesn't a person make just to earn his rozi? They travel overseas even. The moment it's easy for him to go abroad, he's gone. Why? Paisa kamana hai. Rozi kamana. So he says like that, for the work of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for akhirat, for ourselves, we have to make this mujahada. We have to make this mehnat. And we have to make this qurbani. Then we speak about Hazrat Maulana's observance of sunnah. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi's observance of sunnah. He was very, very particular. And I mentioned previously also, this was a quality that many of our mashayikh had. In fact, not many, all. Ittiba'i sunnat. Salient features of our kabir. That they will follow the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, he would try to revive every single sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it was, in our eyes, it might be small sunnat, a minor sunnat, or major. But Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Ali would go all out and he would make sure that he tries to fulfill every sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And towards the end of his life, he called Hazrat Mawla, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullahi, and told him, I exhort you to do your best to learn about the actions, the habits, the morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Hadith, from the Sunnah, you must try and bring this in your life every single way and habit, and you must propagate it also. And then we find right till the end, when Hazrat Maulana mentioned last week, you should always read namaz, standing also, and mud jamaat, until finally he couldn't, he was in the bed. He made them bring the bed and join the last saf in jamaat. So they mentioned towards his last illness, he was supported by two people to come for salat. And this was exactly what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even this sunnah he made amal on. That right, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought sahara by two sahaba. And then Nabi Kareem was put into the saf. Like that, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Ali had the opportunity of even getting this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His forbearance, I mentioned few incidents already. So, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was very tolerant, forbearing. In one journey, there was one particular Maulana who joined them and supposed to be an educated person, but he did all sorts of annoying things on the journey. And Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah bore it patiently. He didn't say one word. And right in the end, he tells him, he says, Maulana, do you think my anger is so cheap that I will waste it on you? I shall not be provoked by you. That Maulana was provoking him, doing silly things, whatever he was doing, irritating Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah. I said, my anger is not so cheap, I must waste it on you. There was one Jamaat that had returned from one place, and they brought one youngster, and this young person was mocking them all the time, and making fun of them. And they brought him to Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah. And the Jamaat had said, Hazrat, this boy, not one namaz is reading even. On seeing Maulana, he burst out into laughter. Instead of respecting, he's showing disrespect. Maulana, with piyar, muhabbat, very affectionately held his, touched his chin and said, may Allah always keep you in high spirits. He was laughing and joking. Maulana said, Allah aapko hamesha khush rakhe. Then Maulana explained to him in a very loving manner about salat, about namaz. But this had an athar on his heart. And then immediately he said, I give you assurance now from today, I will frequent the masjid and I will read my salat. So this was the Ahlullah. This was the figure from inside. With piyar, muhabbat, they used to manage to do this. Once there was a Jamaat and Maulana was going past, and unintentionally his hand touched the shoulder of someone. Sometimes as you're going past, you're walking, and he didn't mean to hurt the person anyway, his hand brushed the person's shoulder, and the person got very upset, very upset, and said, if you ever do this again, I will strike you with my asa. Maulana bent down, grabbed this person's feet, and said that he asked for forgiveness. And he said that you said, I mustn't touch your shoulder. You didn't say I mustn't touch your feet. So he grabbed his feet and said, please, for Allah's sake, forgive me. So this was his forbearance, his tolerance, his humility, his tawazu, consideration for others. Again, as I mentioned, so many of waqiyas with other buzghanideen, they wouldn't give any person taklif, be Muslim or non-Muslim. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali also. He paid fullest attention to the rights of insan, mankind in general, including the mushrikeen and the disbelievers. This Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah sings. Once, one companion, they were going on train, on safar on the train. So this one sati, he occupied more than the space that he was supposed to occupy. This is his seat, but he took half of the other seat as well. So he occupied more than his share of space. Maulana reprimanded him. He was going traveling with Maulana. He said, you have violated the right of another person. The other person, this is his haq. He has to squeeze in his seat. You put your bag there, your parcel, whatever it is. How often we do the same thing? We're going by plane, we've got our seat. But what we'll do, we'll take another seat, we put our luggage there. We'll use the compartments for the hand luggage. Because we carry so much of luggage. Before that, those people come passengers quickly, stuff all that. We got zero ikram. I have seen enough times when we went Umrah, those stewards, they were like pleading to the people, becoming upset. We're supposed to have gone for Umrah, come back, change, and not give taklif and behave in the manner in which we behave. Allah forgive us. We are arguing and fighting and shouting over the food, the tray, the food that came. And we are complaining about that. And we are arguing and we are making such a noise. And we want to speak to the captain and... This is not the way a mu'min behaves. Maaf. This is reality, sometimes it's karwi baat. All of us, whether we in the khanka, whether we in tabligh, whether we in madrasa, whoever we are, there are times we must show our, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not times, we should always be displaying it.
Don't give takleef to others. Don't give takleef to others. This is the moka of showing the people, the rest of the people, our akhlaq. When we get off the plane, we rushing to go onto the bus because the bus will take us to the terminal. So we are men, but we occupy the seats. Poor ladies are coming, and they must stand. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Unless the person is mazur, he's got no, he can't walk, he's in a wheelchair. There's something else. Young people. So we'll take our seat with our wives and children, we'll place the other bag so nobody must sit there. May Allah give us hidayat. May Allah give us hidayat. This is Islah. Islah is not big wazifas and other things. This is all part of Allah forgive me also. Allah give me tawfiq of making amal. I mentioned maybe few years back when we travel, then the manner in which we use, occupy the toilet in the aircrafts, we leave it so filthy that the next person finds it difficult to use it. Whether we made wudu, whether we use the toilet, whatever. But the next person comes, there's water throughout. You will lose nothing. You will lose nothing if you go on your knees and you clean the toilet. You'll lose nothing. You'll be making ikram of the next person. We use the toilet. Mawlana Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullahi. After using the toilet, I read in the kitabs, he will clean the toilet in such a way that the next person feels it easy to use the toilet. This is akhlaq. This is iman. This is Islam. So Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi, he would be very worried and show consideration for others. So once they're traveling by bus, so the bus stopped for a little while, it was time for salat. So he jumps off, and this was something in his life that he never missed his salat with jamaat, whether they were traveling or whatever the purpose was of journey, whatever it was, he would always read his salat on time and he'll make jamaat. So he jumped off, and after the fard also was not long, was short. After the fard, they made the jamaat. Mawlana told his satis, some of them now started to want to read sunnat and nafil because we're going with Hazrat now. We have to show him how pious we are. Some people started making niyat. They say, bhai, there are other people in this bus, other passengers also. They are ladies, they may be non-Muslims. So they also have a haq. Now we have read our fard, we must jump on the bus and carry on. This is our ma'mul of many of our mashayikh. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib Damat Barakatum, many of them, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, all of them, they had showed ri'ayat, concern for the other passengers. Good manners. Hazrat Mawlana always said, what is good manners? Good manners is that if you learn from Quran, Hadith and Sunnah. That which Rasulullah s.a.w. taught us. Once he wrote to a friend, however lowly and simple low a person Muslim may be, learn to look at him with respect. Even the most humble or the most defaulting Muslim was respectable in his eyes. And he seemed to regard him to be better and more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than himself. Remember the Thani Ramatullah, what I mentioned? Same thing. Whenever he met a Muslim, he thought of that spark of iman that he had in his heart. And so all the weaknesses he had, everything faded away because he had azmat of this person's iman. He had respect for him because of his iman. Once on meeting a person, he observed, he says that, I know this particular person has done a lot of harm to some other alim, some religious personality, and to some institution, and it hurt me a lot. But I'm also aware of the fact that this man is also an alim. He's also a scholar of deen. And because he's an alim, I will show him that respect. Mawlana had the greatest regard for ulama and wanted to keep them always, he always held them in high esteem. There's an incident of a khadim of a Sadhman Gangohi Ramatulali. And his name was Hafiz Muhammad Hussein, Ujra Wale. So, very old he was, and he comes to meet Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Ramatulali. This was for the end of Mawlana Ilyas Ramatulali's life. So, this particular buzurg, he would come and make dam on the water and give Mawlana Ilyas Ramatulali. And Mawlana should be very happy when he came. So, the khadims around Hazrat, obviously they don't want him to get hurt. So his charpa, his bed was there. So they didn't want people to shake it, it'll cause Hazrat Taklif. So from a distance, then they would just let the person stand there. When this person comes, Hafiz Muhammad Hussain Ujrawala, Hazrat Mawlana lets him sit on the same charpa as him. And then they were eating, it was meal time. The Mawlana Ilyas looks for him, finds him sitting in one corner. He tells Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali that bring him and make him sit between you and Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Both great buzurg, giants, or great Allah walas, great saints. And he tells them to put this man, why? Because he was the khadim of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Once a friend of Hazrat Mawlana, he came to visit him. And then as he was departing, he put Mawlana's shoes together, put it right. Mawlana quickly took back the shoes and then he kissed this man's friend, this friend's hands. And he said, in the hadith of Rasulullah, great emphasis is laid on showing kindness to your mihman. So you try to put my shoes right, I have to kiss your hand. And he kissed his hand immediately. Mawlana was an embodiment of humility. He did not like anyone to pay undue respect to him. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya, I mentioned last week to you, was his nephew, but Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Ramadullah had ajeeb love for Hazrat Mawlana, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Ramadullah. And he held Hazrat Sheikh Ramadullah in great, great esteem. You see from the writing, inshallah, I hope to do Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Ramadullah next, if Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. So he says once, so, Hazrat Sheikh Ramatullah is his nephew. Also, he is the pupil of Mawlana Ilyas Ramatullah. Mawlana Ilyas Ramatullah taught him also. So he said, your esteemed letter brought me joy and honor. I am eagerly looking forward to your visit. Hazrat Sheikh Ramatullah said from Saharanpur, he told Mawlana Ilyas Ramatullah in Delhi, Hazrat, I'm coming to visit you. So on reply to this, he said, I'm very happy that you are coming. He said, if as you say, Zakariya, that I am a Hazrat, then you are a Hazrat Ghar. Hazrat Ghar means one who produces Hazrat. Who would have cared, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Ramadullah was saying, who would have cared for a worthless person like me had you not paid attention to me and showed me so much of consideration? After Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Sahar and Puri Ramadullah, you were the first to entertain kind feelings for me. And later on, Haji Sheikh Rashid Ahmad too, and others. He said, eager as I am for your visit, I fear that my faults will become so clear and conspicuous in your presence. But I am sustained by the hope that in the company of men like you, I may also be reformed to such extent. My brothers, where are we going to get things like this? Allah. This is tawadu. This is, and he didn't just write, who knew this letter will reach us and this will come to know about it. He wrote to his nephew. May Allah give all of us this type of quality. If we have this, then inshallah, there'll be a change in the halat of the ummah, inshallah. So Mawlana did not like people to make way for him or show some, you know, special respect for him. Even during the tours of Mewat, when Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Ramadullah became the center of attraction, thousands of people come to visit him. He made no khas dawat, ceremonial welcome. They must make my istiqbal, everyone jalsa, that Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas is coming. Nothing of the sort. No unnecessary formalities and takallufat. When his condition was very, very bad, when he became very ill, before he passed away, then people were stopped from shaking hands with Mawlana Ilyas Ramatullah Ali. One day, one new person, a stranger comes, and he sees Hazrat Mawlana. So he went forward to shake hands, and he jumped over the people. So one khadim who was there, a Mewati khadim, immediately stopped him, grabbed his hand, became very angry, and stopped him. And this man saw that, he became upset, and he began cursing the Maulvis. Mawlana Ilyas Ramadullah saw this. immediately admonished their khadim, and he says, to hurt the feelings of a Muslim is most displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Go right now and apologize to him. And come back only after he has forgiven you. This khadim runs. He goes and he finds this person outside the masjid hurling abuses at them. He goes there, he begs him. He said, I have caused taklif to you, I have wounded your feelings, caused you pain. Forgive me. Please forgive me for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person then forgave him. And then he returned back inside. I mentioned about Hazrat Maulana's namaz, that he would not read a single namaz without jamaat. He always make that effort to read namaz with jamaat. Till about 2 months before his demise, always he made his 5 times salat with jamaat. And Hazrat Maulana, even though he did not have the strength to sit up in bed, he needed support of 2 men to stand in the row. As soon as azan was called out, suddenly Maulana would get some type of strength. Ajib. Allah will give him some type of taqat, that then he was able to make his ruku and sajda and qiyam and everything with ease. And the moment namaz terminated, finished, salamu alaikum rahmatullah, salamu alaikum rahmatullah, back again he's gone so weak and he needs somebody to support him. When it became impossible for Maulana to stand, then he used to offer his salat with jamaat in the sitting position. And when this could also not be done, then he would do that sitting on his charpai, and then he would join this jamaat. And it is mentioned that however tired Hazrat Maulana might be feeling on a journey, he always had sufficient energy for his salat and nafil prayers. And he would say that my tiredness goes away with namaz. It is mentioned that they came back from one journey. They came back from a journey, and everybody is now tired, and Hazrat Maulana goes and he stands up in salat. And he says, I'm getting comfort and rahat by performing salat. Just one last incident tonight, inshallah, and we terminate. It's a very interesting incident where Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Ramatullah, this was Akabir ka Ramadan, the Ramadan of the elders. It's in English. Inshallah, we must try and read it, especially before Ramadan. Different mashayikh, buzughani deen, how they spent their Ramadan. So here Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Ramadhu wrote the kitab and he's writing about Maulana Ilyas Ramadhu. He says, I have narrated many stories of my uncle, Maulana Ilyas Ramadhu, in his Aab Biti of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Ramadhu. And he says, my uncle's routine in Ramadan was that he ate whatever was available at the time of iftar. Tea was necessary. He ate little and he tells the people, his food was not like mine. My uncle should eat very little. He says, he ate 1.5 chapati only. And after iftar, he'll make his maghrib. And after maghrib, he'll engage in nafil salat, which was extremely long. And this habit was from his childhood. In the month of Ramadan, his nafil salat, then after Maghrib, now he read. So he'll make a quick iftar, engage in Nafil Awabin, right till just before Isha Adhan. Once he finished this, then after Taraweeh, he would rest for about half an hour. So he would just have a short rest and get ready for Isha. And then he would lead Taraweeh himself. And after Taraweeh, he'd go lie down. And there was no gathering at that time. At many times, after saying the salam of witr, Hazrat Ilyas Ramadullah will say, I fall asleep before my head even touches the pillow. And then his food, as I mentioned, was very, very simple. There was something called pulkhiya in the iftar. And if somebody brought some fruits, that's what they ate. So he says, in that time, my uncle would sit. But I would insist that people eat quickly and carry on and give Hazrat comfort. Despite that, he would sit for about 15 to 20 minutes. It was his routine to wake up 12 a.m. And by the time he made wudu, etc., the khadim would quickly give him 2 boiled eggs. And so he would eat that. Then he would engage in tahajjud, long tahajjud, right till seri time. And the seri would be right in the end. Just before seri time would expire, He said, it was typical of my uncle, Mawlias Rahmatullahi. I've seen so many times that he would have one morsel, one lukma in his right hand. And he would tell one of the khadim to bring him water. And he would tell another person, by call out the azan. So he would just finish that lukma, drink the water, and there was end of seri time, and it was already time for now Fajr Azan. So that was his seri. There is some type of wild fig that regarding that it is mentioned that they would make some type of drink from there. Hazrat Maulana says that there was one imam in Delhi. So he heard of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi and he thought, hey, this man must be a great person, so he must be getting some nice chows there for iftar and seri. So he said, let me go in. I think he was some relative also of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi. I said, now Hazrat ke paas, you know, he's sitting there and seri, iftar, people must be being very nice food. Let me go and so I can also enjoy the food. He must have got a lot of food for him, sent to him during the month of Ramadan. So he came to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi to spend some days there. Iftar time, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi asked Khadim, "Bhai, kya hai?" He said, "Only the capri figs from last night, some type of wild fig." So that wasn't that you should eat that. So Maulana replied, "Mashallah, bring them." So they brought this for iftar, and after Maghrib, they ate the same thing. Seri time, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi asked, "Bhai, was there?" People said, "Capri figs from iftar time." So Hazrat ate few, and this man, poor fellow, he also ate. After Azan of Fajr, after Namaz was finished, there was no bayan, and after Salat, Maulana is sitting there till sunrise, till Ishraq. So in the whole incident, it is mentioned, I'll just give you the khulasa, that this mehman who came, he then told me, "Hazrat, I need to go, man. Got some work, some important kaam." Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi realized why he wants to go. He smiled, he said, "No, just wait, you came here, mashallah, don't worry, everything, just sit with us. Just you came a few days, spend a few days. This person is trying to make this excuse and that excuse. No, no. But how are you going to live again? No, another iftar, another seri with capri figs." So Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi to this man started explaining, "I got this errand to run, I got that to go there." The whole day, my poor relative had spent seri and iftar eating capri figs. He often said afterwards, "Only I know what I was going through at that time." Second day after Asr, Hazrat asked again, he made his zikr, loud zikr they would make, and this poor now mehman is dreading now, what's going to be for iftar, capri figs, or what's going to be there? After Maghrib, he's looking now, there's one pot coming, must be capri figs. Allah Ta'ala sent a big pot of chicken biryani. He mentioned the masjid was filled with the fragrance of biryani. Mawlias Ramal said, "Bhai Latif, bhai kaha hai? This biryani came especially for you." And then he said, "I savored the taste of that biryani on the second day of iftar and seri, and remember this the rest of my life." So these were mashayikh, buzugani deen, they were light-hearted also. They brought people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worked, sacrificed their whole life for the sake of deen. Dawat and tabligh, may Allah ta'ala accept us for all good works of deen. May Allah help us to prepare for akhirat. May Allah connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us a means of us becoming others connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us, overlook all our shortcomings. We have got so many faults. Only Allah ta'ala's sattari, Allah covers our faults, that Allah ta'ala does not expose us. So inshallah, these great hopes also. Let's read these waqiyas so that we can implement them into our lives. Inshallah, something will come into our life. Allah will make the change. Allah will accept it. Allah knows our weakness. It could be a means of najat in the akhirat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.